Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the third chapter of John's gospel, the first 17 verses. This is the lectionary text for this Trinity Sunday, the first Sunday that after Pentecost. And as I read these ancient words that will sound familiar to you, just kind of reflect on what they might be speaking to you at this point on your faith journey. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, keeping with tradition, I would like to open our time together this Confirmation Sunday with some questions for your contemplation. Are you ready? You do not have to, I don't want you to yell the answers out. I want you just to think about these. They're very simple questions. Number one, how many books are contained in the Old Testament? Wait a minute. The Protestant Old Testament. Okay, two. When did King David live? Within 500 years. Think about it. Three, name six of Jesus' 12 disciples. Pretty simple. Four, name four of Paul's letters. Hold the thought. Five, according to our Methodist tradition, United Methodist tradition, what are the four ways through which a person discerns theological truth? Hint, also known as the Wesleyan quadrilateral. Hold that thought. One person at a time, please. And number six, who is our bishop? Hold that. Okay. You knew all those answers. I know. I could see it. Because you were all kind of going like this, so you knew the answer. That's good work. But just reflect on that. Friends, today is an incredibly important day in the life of Pleasant Grove United Methodist Church. It's an incredible day because this morning we will be confirming 14 of our young people. 14. As I talk to my colleagues in other Methodist churches, they may not have any confirmands year after year after year. We had about 11 last year and about a dozen the year before that. 14 confirmands. It just, we always seem to have confirmands. That's amazing. So today we'll confirm 14 young people and bring them into the full membership of this church. And confirmation is one of those rites of passage in the church. It's not considered a sacrament, but it's very close. You see, it changes your status in the church. It's big. It's just one more sign that these young people are growing up. Now, and I've been leading confirmation for over 20 years now here at Pleasant Grove. And along the way, I've talked to a number of my clergy colleagues about how they structure their confirmation class. And what I've come to realize, that confirmation is envisioned in a multitude of ways. Even the goals of confirmation vary from church to church. Well, here at Pleasant Grove, the youth gather weekly for about a dozen weeks to explore the faith, explore their faith, and to learn a little more about the nature of the faith journey. They cut up, they yell, they scream at me, they just are out of control, you know, for most of the time. But that's what they're supposed to do, right? That's what they're supposed to do. To me, the goal of confirmation is very simple. It is not to sit around and memorize a bunch of facts. That's not what confirmation is about. To me, they get some of that, but that's not the overarching goal. No, the primary goal of confirmation is to get our young people to begin to reflect on the nature of the religious life, specifically their religious life. The point is to get them thinking about the big questions of life and meaning. So through the confirmation process, they begin to examine and explore some of these foundational ideas and questions. Things like the Bible, theology, ethics, general church history, Methodism. I mean, let me ask you this. When was the last time you gave those matters any significant thought? I'm very proud of our confirmands, and you should be too. You should seek them out individually and thank them for being a vital part of the living tradition here at Pleasant Grove, the vital part of the body of Christ. Okay, 39. That is the answer. 39 is the answer. That's how many books are contained in the Protestant Old Testament. 39, okay. Anyway, they will put confirmation behind them today, and they will celebrate because they don't have to spend Sunday afternoons with me and with Aaron, especially with Aaron. They don't have to do that. You know, those of you who have been in a Bible study with me or some other class can appreciate that. You can empathize with our confirmands. Anyway, today they'll put confirmation behind them, but it will not mark the end of their theological reflection. How can it? Every time something profound happens in their lives and they lift their hands in some sort of resignation and cry out, "Why? Why is this happening to me?" Every time they do that, they'll be doing theology. Today's not an ending, it's a commencement. And we hear a lot about that word this time of year. Today marks a new beginning for these young people. Hopefully they will use this time, and they use what they have encountered in confirmation as a foundation to build on for the rest of their lives. 1000 B.C. That's about when King David lived. 1000 B.C. Okay. Confirmation concludes today. It concludes this year on what we call One Sunday. Could there be a better time to confirm the class? I don't think so. Last week was Pentecost Sunday, what we call the birthday of the church. And on Pentecost, we talk about new beginnings. So this is a Pentecost season. And through this ritual of confirmation, we're celebrating a new beginning for this church, a new beginning for these young people, a new beginning of our church family here. We are one church. That's what we are. Today we commission the next generation of our disciples, of Jesus' disciples in this place. Friends, I say this over and over again. Our youth are not the future of the church. They're the present of our church. Now, Maggie, William, Jillian, Will, Hannah M., Meredith, Emily, Lizzie, Zach, Hannah P., Gia, Ainsley, Grace, and Eliza. We're counting on you. Today, their faith commitment will be confirmed, and they will be taken into the church as full members. Full members. That means they'll take on full responsibility, except, remember, they can't drive the church van. But besides that, we're expecting great things from them in the coming weeks. They will ask to shoulder their part of the church's ministry, and that's big. They will be asked to model their life after that of Jesus. Crazy idea. A life characterized by service to God and to others. They will agree to make room for the sacred in their life. That's huge. This is not a commitment to be made lightly and without careful consideration. Okay. See the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 2 through 4, if you want a list of the 12 disciples. Okay? Then if you want to find Paul's letters, go to the first book of the New Testament, which is the Gospel of Matthew, not written by Paul. Okay. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. That's Paul. Then from there on, you can get your list. Anyway, as our confirmands make this commitment today, they'll be asked a very important question. And the question is this. Listen carefully. As a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in the ministries of the church by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? Everyone who joins a United Methodist Church is asked that question. Every single person. It's an extremely important question because by answering it in the affirmative, you acknowledge that your life has changed forever. You acknowledge that your life is not your own. You embrace the fact that you are part of something bigger than self. You are a vital part of a tradition that dates back 2,000 years. Part of the body of Christ. And as I said last week, that should shock you every single day. I'm part of the body of Christ. As a member of this congregation, I'll faithfully participate in ministries of prayers, presence, gifts, service, witness. When you really contemplate that, it's a bit scary. Thank goodness we never think about it. The question was, in our United Methodist tradition, what are the four ways to which a person discerns theological truth? You want to kind of contemplate the deep meaning of the universe? Scripture. Tradition. You know, what have people said about it for 2,000 years, 5,000 years? Experience. What is your experience of the cosmos? And what reason? Use your brain. Those four work together to help us discern the truth of our existence. Many years ago, Jesus walked along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He said to some folks, follow me. I want to tell you about the kingdom of God. That God's breaking in, and it's all around you. And when they looked at him with puzzled faces, he bent down and took the hand of a leper. Or he talked to a person who no one else would talk to. Or he took bread and he fed the people who were hungry. He said, that's what I'm talking about. Follow me. For the past 2,000 years, that call has gone out continuously. And time again, people said, I'm following. I'm going that way. Today, our young people are being asked to make that decision. Am I going to follow in the way of Christ or not? And we're being asked to reaffirm that. You're being asked a question too today. Because you've already said yes to that. One community. Friends, this is a great day in the life of Pleasant Grove and the life of this church. 14 confirmands. That's incredible. This season of Pentecost, a season of inspiration, in-breathing of God's presence. Wow. May God bless us and bless our confirmands on this journey. May God help us be faithful to the commitment we've all made. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Say it. Send me. Friends, our beloved bishop's name is the Reverend Hope Morgan Ward. Thanks be to God. Amen.